booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. Hopefully you had a nice weekend. Welcome to the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frankie. Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. I enjoyed hearing you on the radio yesterday. It was quite good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll have to talk about that later. I do want to tell you guys about the weather. We had a beautiful, beautiful day yesterday. Absolutely perfect. Although I was inside, I was looking out at the gorgeous sunshine from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Today, we are going to have another really nice day, although it will be a bit more humid. We will have sunshine and a few clouds, a high of 76. Tonight, some passing clouds, no big deal. Going to be clear, 64 degrees for a low. And on Tuesday, we're looking at partly cloudy skies in the morning. And probably getting a little bit cloudier by the afternoon. You may see some sun pop out there. 77 degrees for a high. And again, the humidity keeps creeping up. By Wednesday, we're going to be looking at about 80 degrees with showers early. And then the showers will sort of fade away and we'll have mostly cloudy skies for the rest of the day. The showers will continue through Wednesday night into Thursday and Friday. But at this point, Saturday's looking nice. But things change. It's still Monday. No big deal. Don't freak. 65 degrees right now in New York City.
A new fence around the Capitol is coming down again. It was put up last week ahead of Saturday's rally. A small crowd turned out amidst high security. They gathered to support those that were arrested for January's Capitol attack. A few hours after that happened, fencing was installed and stayed up until July. Crews were seen removing sections of the new fence yesterday. No word how long it'll take to finish.
Well, as you heard, this is very sad news coming out of the FBI. They confirmed Sunday that the body that was found out in a national park out in Wyoming is likely that of Gabby Petito, who, of course, was a Long Island native who was on a cross-country trip with her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. More about him in a second. But according to the FBI, the cause of the death has not been determined at this time. The coroner's office is going to be doing an autopsy. That is scheduled for tomorrow. Petito's father, Joseph, tweeted a photo of Gabby shortly after the announcement. It's a picture of her standing in between two angel wings and saying she touched the world. The attorney representing her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, and his parents, they all have refused to speak to cops about her disappearance. The lawyer called the discovery of her alleged remains heartbreaking. The family is praying for Gabby and her family. Laundrie, of course, you know, at this point, he had immediately hired a lawyer. He refused to talk to police. He refused to cooperate. And he was named a person of interest. He disappeared last week. So there was this massive search of the weekend of the Carlton Reserve, which is near his parents' home in Northport, Florida. It's like 25,000 acres. That search continued yesterday. It was suspended for the day. No sign of Brian Laundrie, who, again, is missing. His family says he's missing. Gabby's family says he's hiding. So there you have it.
Mm. Mm. Sad, sad news indeed. Yeah. It looks like actor Matthew McConaughey may have a good shot at winning in Texas if he decides to run for governor. Two new polls show he's ahead of Governor Greg Abbott again by 9 points in a hypothetical matchup. Abbott's approval rating has dropped since signing a ban on mask mandates and most abortions. Meanwhile, former El Paso Congressman Beto O'Rourke is reportedly planning to reveal soon that he's also running next year. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Beto versus McConaughey?
Well,
we depends on what McConaughey runs at.
Right, exactly. We don't know if he's going to run as an independent, a Democrat, or something else. Who knows? So we'll see. It's going to be very, very interesting. The poll certainly gives a lot of encouragement to Matthew McConaughey if he's seriously considering running. So
you know, but it's so kind of pie in the sky. So people will be like, oh yeah, I'd vote for him. But then when it comes down to it, would you really? But I guess you know he's just as qualified as other people that are running.
Right. Well, again, nobody knows his position on anything, so nobody can be opposed to him. Right?
Exactly. Very good point. Let's get over to Joe Nolan. We are not opposed to him at all. In fact, we support him.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Joe.
Hello there, Juliet. Morning, Frank. And good morning, everybody. We have a couple of problems on the Gowanus BQE. First of all, on the Gowanus part, at Hamilton Avenue, an accident in the right lane. Then as you get up to Astoria Boulevard on the BQE, another accident that went in the left lane. Now, today is considered a gridlock alert day. The UN General Assembly, of course, is meeting this week. You want to, and I always tell people, just avoid a box east of 5th Avenue from the 30s up into the 50s. Expect complete closures, frozen zones, etc. If you don't have to drive on the east side of Manhattan, just don't this week. An alternate side of the street parking rules, once again, are going to be in effect. And the support is the service of Indeed.com. Hitting speed bumps in your hiring process? Streamline your route to hired with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Find your next great hire at visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Yep. Well, there is some news on the COVID vaccine front. An FDA panel over the weekend rejected the president's plan to give booster shots to the general public. However, they said that Pfizer's booster was fine for people over 65. Obviously, this has created a lot of confusion. One of the problems is that Biden himself just a month ago said that the plan was for every adult to get a booster shot 8 months after you got your second shot. And he said that this would start going into effect for everybody, again, in September. But Jay Tapper over the weekend had Dr. Fauci on, and Tapper asked Fauci if it was a mistake for the president to have made that announcement. Fauci said he didn't think so. He said the president was clear that this was a plan. It was not a definitive. And he said that it's always been that the booster shot would go into effect pending the data that was culminated and collected and the analysis of the data. And obviously the FDA panel thought the data did not show that we should be giving all just regular Americans under 65 the booster shot. So there you go.
What do you think that means for Pfizer and the likelihood of a booster shot there?
I don't know. They didn't really get into detail on why the negative result. I'm guessing that maybe they just want some more time to look at the data because, you know, we're pretty early on.
Right.
I'm only a few months into my double shots.
John Catsimatidis mentioned yesterday on the Cats Roundtable that he just got his booster shot and he was Pfizer. So it is interesting what's going on. We'll see what happens. All right. The spotlight is certainly on housing as the week begins. The National Association of Home Builders Market Index for September comes out this morning. The housing industry analysts forecast a slight retreat from August. That is due out at 10 o'clock this morning.
And if you've been on the internet for the last few days, you probably saw this video of a fight breaking out between some restaurant customers and the hostess of the restaurant. The customers reportedly from Texas, they're black. The hostess is Asian. There are allegations now of racism. It's a big to-do. The New York Times over the weekend broke some news. They painted a clearer picture based on video that they got of what went down. It was a little bit of a convoluted situation, but apparently it wasn't the three women initially that created a problem. The three black women who showed up at Carmine's restaurant on the Upper West Side had proof of vaccination and they showed it and they were seated. Then they had three men join them and two of those men did not have proof. So the whole group was turned away. And as they were leaving, one of the women in the group got into a verbal tussle with the hostess and all hell broke loose. The black patrons are now saying the hostess uttered a racial epithet, the N-word, and was aggressive. And today there is going to be a protest outside of Carmine's by one of the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement from here in New York, Hawk Newsom. I actually had him on my show yesterday at 5 o'clock, and he said, you know, this is really more about vaccine mandates because they really come down on people who are black, because a lot of black people, especially young black people in New York City, have not had their vaccines. Another issue, he says, is that he believes that the owner of Carmine's restaurant had video that showed the black patrons in a much better light than the original news was reporting. But again, Hawk Newsom claims that this owner of Carmine's just decided to hold on to the video and let these black customers basically reputations be dragged through the mud. So that is why he's going to be out there protesting today.
It was a great, great interview. Hopefully we can hear a little bit of the audio of that later. A fascinating discussion. Boxing champion Manny Pacquiao is running for president of the Philippines. Pacquiao, a senator, accepted the nomination yesterday from a faction of the ruling party after speaking out against corruption and what he says is President Rodrigo Duterte's close relationship with China. Pacquiao, while popular, is polling behind other frontrunners, including Duterte's daughter, Sara Duterte Carpio. We'll see what happens.
Well, we're going to get into the Emmy Awards because the 2021 annual show came out last night. It was a actually kind of a fun show to watch. But viewers have slammed it because the celebrities were all packed together without masks, sitting next to each other, no social distancing, despite ongoing warnings in Los Angeles about the spread of COVID. Seth Rogen, who presented the first award, was quite taken aback. He actually said they were packed into a hermetically sealed tent. So that's what it was. Apparently, they were told that it was going to be outside, and technically it was, but they were in this tent that was hermetically sealed, you know, to keep them all warm. So there's going to be probably a lot of ire because of that. So we will talk about some of the winners and some of the losers in the second half of the show.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff calls the recent drone strike in Afghanistan a tragic mistake. Speaking with ABC's This Week, Mike Mullen said, although it was an incredibly complex and fast-moving situation, there should be some degree of accountability for those involved. Mullen noted the U.S. carried out both successful and unsuccessful drone strikes in the past. He acknowledged the chaotic environment in the war-torn country made the most recent strike much more difficult. The retired Navy admiral added, no other military officer has faced a more difficult decision in the role than current Chairman Mark Milley.
Yeah, some more news on the Afghan drone situation. The father of a three-year-old who was killed in that strike, and there were apparently seven children who were killed, this father told the Associated Press that he wants a full investigation into who fired the drone and why the information was so bad. He also wants the person who allegedly pulled the trigger, so to speak, to be punished. The families involved with this particular situation are also asking to be compensated financially. They obviously, they want money for this, but they also say that they want to start a new life. They would like to be relocated somewhere by the U.S. government, they say, to a third country. So it's not as though they're asking to come to the United States, although it's not clear which country they are going to be asking to go to. And again, it follows a video apology for the tragedy by the head of CENTCOM over the weekend. He called it a tragic mistake, too. And you mentioned Mike Mullen. He said the U.S. absolutely needs to take responsibility for those attacks.
5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and here we go. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Jeff McNeil hit a tie-breaking homer leading off the seventh inning, and the Mets beat Philadelphia 3-2 last night, damaging the Phillies' playoff hopes. The Phillies blew a two-run lead and fell two games behind the Atlanta Braves in the NL East and 3.5 games behind the St. Louis Cardinals in the race for the second NL wild card. The Mets snapped a five-game losing streak. Well, for the Yankees, Gerrit Cole stumbled when the Yankees needed an ace-like outing, allowing seven runs over 5 2/3 innings in a costly 11-1 defeat to the Cleveland Indians. New York dropped 1.5 games behind Toronto for the second AL wild card and 2.5 games behind wild card leader Boston with 12 games left. Harold Ramirez hit a pair of two-run singles and drove in a career-high 14 runs before leaving with a right shoulder injury. Finally, NFL action. Mac Jones was smart and efficient, Damian Harris and James White had touchdown runs, and the New England Patriots took advantage of a nightmarish outing by Zach Wilson in a 25-6 victory over the New York Jets. Jones, the number 15 overall pick in the draft, went 22 of 30 for 186 yards for the Patriots, a week after going 29 for 39 for 281 yards and a touchdown in a loss to Miami. New England beat New York for the 11th straight game. Wilson finished 19 of 33 for 210 yards and four interceptions in the home opener for the Jets. With sports at 15:45, I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Matt. 5:17. Let's get a look at traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan. How was your weekend, Joe?
Busy. That was
you had the
sure.
wedding, right? You had your stepson.
Yeah, I had a I had the Rutgers game on Saturday, then left there and went to the wedding, my stepson's wedding. Then got done there, and then on Sunday I had the Jets. So full throttle weekend, that is for sure. A lot of fun though.
How's the roads looking this morning?
Well, you know, we get this UN thing. All of that, you want to avoid a box pretty much east of 6th Avenue from 34th to 50th, pretty much in both directions. Anything that's in that side of that box, you can expect anything to happen. Complete closures, frozen zones, etc. So, again, avoid a box from 34th Street up to 50th Street east of 6th Avenue. Also, you got problems inbound on the Gowanus PQE and Hamilton Avenue, an accident. That one's in the right lane. Mass transit so far so good. Alternate side is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC. ABC.
Thank you, Joseph, and your Jet Set Juliet travel update coming up at 5:40. We have some news on Great Britain and American travelers. We also have news on American travelers or travelers coming to America. Good luck with that one. And some other developments. Plus, we have Frank's Biz Buzz. What's happening in business today?
A lot of discussion about vaccine mandates. One airline CEO made some very interesting remarks in terms of President Biden's latest vaccine mandates. I'll tell you who and what they said.
All right. And that is coming up after Deb's News and on this day.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. 20 minutes after 5 at 65 degrees. This is the WABC Early News. Here's what's happening on Wall Street. Wall Street ushers in a fresh trading week with this morning's opening bell. Stocks fell Friday in a broad sell-off amidst uncertainty over the Delta variant of the coronavirus and a weaker-than-expected reading on consumer sentiment. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones lost 166 points, the S&P 500 fell 40 points, and the NASDAQ dropped 137 points. United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby is blaming the Delta variant for a downturn in travel. Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Kirby says the recovery for travel demand has been pushed to January of next year due to the ongoing pandemic. He praised the Biden administration's efforts for trying to get more Americans vaccinated. Kirby said he agrees with the COVID vaccine mandate for workers rather than travelers. The airline CEO explained this way, it doesn't become a burden to get vaccinated travelers to show proof of vaccination every time getting on a plane, train, or any other kind of mode of transportation. Kirby was very supportive of the administration's efforts to restrict international travel, claiming they're trying to take a cautious approach to put Americans' safety first. And finally, the top federal crash safety regulator says it's premature for Tesla to roll out its new self-driving software designed for city driving. Tesla CEO Elon Musk said last week owners could soon request an enhanced version of what the electric car maker calls its full self-driving capability. National Transportation Safety Board Chair Jennifer Homendy said yesterday that Tesla shouldn't launch its city driving tool before addressing what the NTSB views as safety deficiencies in its technology. Juliet?
Thank you very much. The first plane load of Haitian immigrants landed back in their home country yesterday. The group spent days under a bridge at an encampment along the Texas border. The immigrants were using a dam to cross into the U.S., and many of them begging President Joe Biden not to deport them, saying that they will die if they go back. Meantime, the president enjoyed the weekend cycling on a trail near his home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, with the First Lady. Vice President Kamala Harris, who, of course, is charged with dealing with the crisis at the border, she showed up to a Howard University football game to do the coin toss. Critics lambasting the two, saying that the optics are not good.
Well, an inmate at Rikers Island is dead, bringing the facility's death count to at least 11 this year. The New York City Department of Corrections saying the unidentified person said they were not feeling well on Sunday night and taken to the hospital's jail clinic where CPR was administered. The inmate was pronounced dead at 7:25 last night. The chief medical examiner is still determining the cause of death.
Well, it looks like cops caught that thug who kicked a woman down a subway escalator. This happened actually Friday, but I know a lot of people weren't really focusing on the news over the weekend, so I just wanted to update you. You remember this story. I mean, the video was just horrible. He apparently scooted by her without saying, excuse me, so she made a crack to him about saying, excuse me, and he turns around, kicks her hard in the chest. She goes flying down the escalator stairs. Well, police on Friday arrested this guy they say is on the video. His name is Bradley K. Hill. He's 32 from Brooklyn. If you remember the video, it looked like he had sort of a man bun and kind of curly hair, but he has clearly cleaned himself up a bit. He looks like, I said this yesterday, looks like he showed up to his perp walk just after stepping off the pages of GQ. But Mr. Bradley Hill has been arrested and hopefully will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Congress is back in session today as lawmakers face decisions over President Biden's domestic plan, funding for the federal government, and the debt ceiling. Spending issues are coming to the forefront as a two-year deal reached in 2019 expires. Congress will also likely address Biden's $3.5 trillion budget bill and his $1.2 trillion transportation bill.
New York City is getting ready for the General Assembly, the United Nations General Assembly. You heard Mr. Nolan talk about that. It starts today. Lots of world leaders, lots of traffic jams, and potentially lots of COVID spreading. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. says she's worried this could turn into a super spreader event. I was talking about this yesterday. You know, these world leaders come in, and obviously they're treated like diplomats. They don't necessarily have to follow all of the same rules that we do. So it should be interesting to see what happens with this in a few weeks, if this actually turns into a super spreader event.
I know the president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, says he's not getting vaccinated. And the New York City officials are saying they can't enforce the indoor vaccine mandate, as you mentioned there. Bolsonaro says he already had the virus, so he doesn't see the need to get the vaccine. But it'll be interesting to see what these other diplomats end up doing. Late night TV host Jimmy Kimmel is welcoming a new addition to his family. His oldest child got married over the weekend. Online photos show Katie Himmel dancing with her dad. She said, "I do," to Will Logsdon 2 weeks after turning 30. They were surrounded by colorful flowers and handmade ceramic pieces, as well as their closest friends and family. Their dogs even got in on the fun as part of their wedding cake topper.
How old is he?
You know, he is clearly a lot older than I thought he was.
Hold on a second. Jimmy Kimmel.
He is, I'm going to guess he's 54. 53. He's 53.
Obviously, he had kids young.
He did indeed.
Wow. 30 years old. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I can't. It's so hard for me to believe that people my age have adult children, but I guess we do. Let's see. What else are we going to do? Oh.
Traffic?
That's very good. Let's go to traffic and Joe Nolan with traffic on the sevens.
Well, Joe? Hello there. We've got ourselves problems inbound on the Gowanus BQE. We're slow Industry City now up to Hamilton Avenue. That accident in the right lane not helping. Also, you want to get on the BQE northbound up at Astoria Boulevard. That earlier accident that was there in the left lane has been cleared. Looking good on the LIE Northern Southern, at least so far. Same thing inbound Hudson River crossings. Again, don't forget the UN General Assembly, as you guys were just talking about. And like I said, every time this happens, I just tell people to avoid a box from 34th Street to 52nd east of 6th. Expect full closures anytime, anywhere, frozen zones as well. Trans Authority delays on the E and the F, and alternate side again today is in effect. The supportive service of Indeed. Streamline your route to hired with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. And we are going to talk about some new rules and regulations for people wanting to go over to the UK to spend a nice vacation or maybe do some business. And we're also going to elaborate a little bit more on this vaccine mandate potential for the airlines. And so much more, including on this day. All of that coming up after Deb's headlines.
Morning, Juliet and Frank. I'm Deborah Valentine. Climate change, one of the topics as world leaders meet right here in New York. They're in session this week at the UN General Assembly in Manhattan. President Joe Biden will address the UN General Assembly tomorrow. Now, as Joe mentioned, there are those extensive frozen zones and parking restrictions along the Upper East Side due to the UN General Assembly. An 11th inmate has died while in custody at Rikers Jail. The New York City Department of Correction says the death is under investigation by the chief medical examiner. The inmate has not been identified. Officials say this inmate went to the jail's clinic after reportedly not feeling well, but died around 7:25 last night. Authorities are working to confirm now that a body found in Grand Teton National Park out in Wyoming is that of 22-year-old Gabrielle Petito of Long Island. A search continues this morning for her boyfriend, Brian Laundry of Florida. The woman disappeared as the couple was on a cross-country trip. One man is dead, an 11-year-old among three hurt when a gunman opened fire at a barbecue in Claremont Park in the Bronx. This happened late Saturday night. Hundreds of people fled for their lives. So far, no arrests. The boy is recovering after being shot in his shoulder. That's your 77-second WABC News update. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center will be brought to you in detail by Juliet. Right now, 60 degrees under clear skies. I'm Deborah Valentine.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, Pedro. It is Monday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Juliet Huddy. Let me just give you a quick check of the weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Today we're looking at nice day, 76 degrees for a high with lots of sun, maybe some puffy clouds floating around. Nothing too bad. Tonight some passing clouds. Otherwise it's going to be generally clear skies, 64 degrees. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we're looking at a high of 77 degrees and the humidity factor starts to creep up a bit. So we'll feel a little bit more humid outside. We'll have partly cloudy skies in the morning and we'll have a little bit more thicker clouds by the afternoon, but we may see some sun pop out there here and there. By Wednesday, we're looking at showers. Those showers will continue throughout the day into Thursday, possibly even into Friday. By Saturday, it looks like we're going to have sun again and a high of 73. So it's starting, we'll start to see that nice cool weather, although it's not going to be too cool, starting, I'd say probably this weekend. But look, I mean, we're already at September, 20th? And we're still in these warm temperatures. I mean, usually by now it's chilly.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's definitely summer. It's taking its time and exiting. That's for sure.
Global warming. Mm. Global warming. Meantime, it is time for the segment that so many love. On this day, Frank, on this day, September 20th, 1814, the Star Spangled Banner is published as a song. Lyrics by Francis Scott Key. Music by John Stafford Smith.
In 1958, on this day, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was seriously injured when a black woman stabbed him in the chest. King was making an appearance at a New York City department store.
On this day, September 20th, 1860, Prince Edward of Wales, the heir to Queen Victoria of England, her eldest son, makes a multi-stop tour of the United States. It was the first time a British royal set foot in this country. Obviously, that's fairly significant given the genesis of our country. He was enthusiastically greeted by President James Buchanan, who had served in Britain and had very good relations with the Queen. One of the highlights was a formal state dinner, after which a fireworks display featuring both American and British symbols wowed the crowd. It was a huge success and a pleasant distraction for a country on the precipice of civil war.
On this day in 1968, New York Yankee legend Mickey Mantle belted his 536th and final home run.
And on this day, September 20th, 1946, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill gives his infamous United States of Europe speech at a university in Zurich, Switzerland. The gist was that he felt the only way to end the constant warmongering in Europe was to guarantee peace through unification.
On this day in 1972, former Beatle Paul McCartney was arrested for growing marijuana on his farm in Scotland.
Paul. Well, that's it for the honest day. I don't have any more.
No, me neither.
All right. Well, just again, a reminder, everybody, if you're coming into New York City today, Joe will tell you a little bit more about this, but we are getting ready for the General Assembly, the United Nations General Assembly over there on the East Side. But of course, when you have all of these leaders coming to town with all of their entourages and their motorcades, it is just chaos. So lots of world leaders equals lots of traffic jams equals lots of headaches. So just be prepared for that. Just a little reminder. We do have some entertainment news. Would you like to get to that?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. It was a very, very bright night for England set shows and British actors at the 2021 Emmy Awards. Ted Lasso, are you familiar with the show, Frank?
No, but I know Matt Sapienza is a big fan.
I love that show.
What is the gist of this show?
It's basically, hold on, let me... I had this prepared, actually, for Frank. Yeah, because I had no clue, Frank, if you watched the show. But so, like, I had a little biography prepared for it.
Okay.
So here.
Make it snappy.
Yes, I will. It's like this small-time football coach, and he's, like, hired to coach this soccer team in England, despite having no soccer experience. That's okay. The gist of the show.
To coach a professional soccer team in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Jason Sudeikis is the star. He won the statuette for outstanding. Well, they won for outstanding comedy series. He won for lead actor. They also won for supporting actress Hannah Waddingham and supporting actor Brett Goldstein. And then you had on the drama side The Crown, which finally got its due. It was actually tied with The Mandalorian for the most nominated drama series. For 24. It's a Netflix drama. Of course, it explores the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. It pulled off a trio of sweeps. Olivia Colman and Josh O'Connor won lead actress and lead actor. Colman played the Queen. She did an amazing job, like she always does. She's such an amazing actress. I love her. And Josh O'Connor played Prince Charles. He did a fantastic job, too. Also, Gillian Anderson, one of my favorites, she played the Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, and did a phenomenal job. She won as well for supporting roles, and Tobias Menzies triumphed for his role as Prince Philip. And lots more to tell you about the British actress Kate Winslet. She won for Mayor of Easttown in Lead Actress Prize in a limited series category. So I don't know if you saw that, Frank, but that was also fantastic. Loved it.
Absolutely. I was happy to see The Queen's Gambit win there. I'm a fan of that series. But,
oh, that was fantastic. Yeah, that was a great one.
Most
also,
of the shows I'm unfamiliar with.
Ewan McGregor scored a Lead Actor Award in a limited series for Halston. So I don't know if you saw that, but that was also really fantastic. I mean, it was like, whoa, what? It was very, it was kind of shocking to see him play such a very, very dramatic gay man. So I mean, because if you know Ewan McGregor, he's usually playing, you know, kind of the sexier guy roles.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to all the winners. 5:37. Congratulations to Joe Nolan for retaining his job as a traffic person.
Yes.
Some days are more difficult than others. So, Joe, I have to take the FDR drive south from around 49th or from around 42nd. Am I going to be able to get to the Brooklyn Bridge?
Oh, yeah. The drive will be open unless there is somebody moving, you know, there a dignitary that's moving on the FDR drive at that point. But,
okay, great.
But probably, you know, I mean, the FDR stays open. It's all the cross streets and the avenues that get shut down around the UN. But they leave the drive open, so it shouldn't really be all that big of a deal. But, again, like I said, the ambassador from wherever is being moved, they can close that down from time to time.
Got it.
So here we go. Inbound Gowanus BQE. We're slow. Prospect to Hamilton Avenue, an accident right lane. And again, we were just talking about the UN General Assembly. Again, starts this week. Avoid a box from between 34th and 52nd, east of 6th. You can expect full closures anytime, anywhere, frozen zones as well. We also have delays on the E and the F subway lines, Roosevelt Avenue to West 4th Street. That would switch trouble. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, let's get a look at what's happening on Wall Street. A little bit of a down day on Friday. At the closing bell, the Dow was down 166 points. Excuse me, the S&P 500 fell 40, and the NASDAQ dropped 137 points. Elon Musk is promising $50 million to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital as part of last week's Inspiration4 Space Mission fundraiser. The SpaceX founder tweeted Saturday, "Count me in for $50 million." The fundraiser was organized by Jared Isaacman, one of the passengers aboard the recent SpaceX flight into orbit. All told, more than $200 million has been raised for the Children's Hospital. New Jersey is saying no to Ben & Jerry's. In July, the ice cream maker announced it would no longer sell ice cream in parts of Israel that Palestinians claim is their land, prompting vigorous pushback and calls of anti-Semitism from Israeli officials. New Jersey has now divested itself from Ben & Jerry's parent company, Unilever, where it currently invests $182 million because the state cannot legally invest in companies engaged in a boycott. Israel's prime minister says they'll continue to exert pressure on other states to punish Unilever, with Arizona planning to remove $143 million, while New York, under the leadership of our controller, Tom DiNapoli, is said to be considering similar moves as well.
It is time now for Jet Set Juliet, your travel update. And by the way, we are finally finishing up the Jet Set Juliet travel podcast, which is video. And the first episode is going to be my trip to Rome, where you see my husband and I in our finest, just traveling around the city, visiting friends, visiting just all the beautiful spots. And it's actually a very immersed sort of experience. So you'll be able to see that. That's coming soon. So stand by for that. It will be on the podcast section of WABCRadio.com. Meantime, we had some breaking news yesterday that President Biden is seriously considering a vaccine mandate for air travel for commercial flights. So you would have to be vaxxed to fly. How will this fly? Well, interestingly, according to a Fox News poll, most Americans support certain vaccine mandates. So certain being the operative word. So we'll see on this. But Dr. Fauci was making the rounds, and he said Sunday that, yes, U.S. officials could issue a COVID-19 vaccine mandate for these commercial flights. He said there's a lot of things on the table. Nothing has been taken off the table. And the Biden administration, of course, earlier this month announced increased fines for passengers who refuse to wear masks on flights. So there is really a clamping down on this. Meantime, the United Kingdom announced Americans who are fully vaccinated can come on in without having to take a test prior to arrival, without having to take tests while there, or without having to quarantine. That's wonderful news. But again, that applies to fully vaccinated American travelers. The news is not so great for those of you who are not vaccinated. If you are one of those people and you want to visit the UK, first of all, I don't know why you would want to do this, because you're going to have to take the rapid COVID PCR test before you depart for the United Kingdom within, I believe it's 72 hours. Then on day two, while you're there, you'll have to take another test. And on day eight, you'll have to take another test, assuming that your vacation lasts that long. But then in the meantime, while you are taking this test, you're also quarantining. So you have to quarantine for at least 8 days. It's a little bit rough. I would imagine that nobody's going to want to take that up. Speaking of travel and traveling to Europe and other places, I'm genuinely concerned about the future of U.S. travel to Europe. The Biden administration has been just really hopeless, frankly, when it comes to lifting international travel rules for people who want to come here to the U.S. Right now, people are banned from coming to the U.S. Our travel industry has been decimated, as you know, by the pandemic. Americans have been free to travel overseas, but again, not so for folks from other countries wanting to come here. And I have to say, I discussed this yesterday, but I want to reiterate, I'm really surprised that more countries, particularly our close allies over in Europe, don't just decide to block us from coming. I guess the reason that they're not is because they realize that Americans are important to their economies. But still, we still have a major COVID problem in this country. And a lot of these countries have theirs under control. So I really thought that Biden would lift the ban when he took office, which was rightly put in place by former President Trump. But we're now more than 550 days and counting into this ban. So our friends and families from overseas can't step foot here. So I'm just hoping that something is going to change within the next week, because, again, we do have the leaders descending upon New York for the United Nations General Assembly. And when they do that, typically they have all these backroom chats and talks and stuff like that. So hopefully there will be some sort of maybe mini summit on the travel situation. And hopefully these world leaders will successfully put pressure on President Biden and his administration once again. And if you happen to be interested in traveling way far away to a nice tropical island, Fiji is preparing to welcome back tourists after a year and a half of being closed to most foreign travelers, actually. This is the thing. 80% of Fiji's adult population is fully vaccinated. So they have been extremely careful. They have a whole COVID-19 risk mitigation task force. They have constant engagement with their the country's top medical and policy experts. So they are very, very, they take it very, very seriously. Very seriously. So they're hoping that Americans, if you want to come over here, will be interested, but will also be okay to play by their rules. Once they put this into action, travelers from green list countries, including America, will need to be fully vaccinated. They'll be issued a pre-departure approval following an online application process. And then on top of that, they also will be required to present negative COVID results from a test taken within 72 hours of boarding their flight to Fiji. That's pretty standard, pretty much wherever you fly. Once you arrive in Fiji, you'll be permitted to vacation in certain designated travel safe areas, which is, these are areas where you can interact with locals and enjoy the island's offerings, knowing that everyone is fully vaccinated. This is kind of odd, I got to be honest. Once you spend 5 days within this travel safe zone and take a COVID-19 test and your results assumingly come back negative, then you will be allowed to travel freely about the entire archipelago. So there you go.
All right.
It's a little much for me, frankly.
Yeah, I can imagine. And by the way, in a similar vein, American Samoa, which was the a country that had no COVID cases, one of the few places in the world, or not a country, but a territory that had no COVID cases, was just announced yesterday. They have seen their first COVID positive case there.
Aww.
So we're wishing them the best of luck. 5:45, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
All right, thanks, Frank. Here's what's going on in the world of sports. Jeff McNeil hit a tie-breaking homer leading off the seventh inning, and the New York Mets beat Philadelphia 3-2 last night, damaging the Phillies' playoff hopes. The Phillies blew a two-run lead and fell two games behind the Atlanta Braves in the NL East and 3.5 games behind the St. Louis Cardinals in the race for the second NL wild card. The Mets snapped a five-game losing streak. To the Yankees now, Gerrit Cole stumbled when the Yankees needed an ace-like outing, allowing 7 runs over 5 2/3 innings in a costly 11-1 defeat to the Cleveland Indians. New York dropped 1.5 games behind Toronto for the second AL wildcard and 2.5 games behind wildcard leader Boston with 12 games left. Harold Ramirez hit a pair of 2-run singles and drove in a career-high 4 runs before leaving with a right shoulder injury. Finally, NFL action. Mac Jones was smart and efficient. Damian Harris and James White had touchdown runs, and the New England Patriots took advantage of the nightmarish outing by Zach Wilson in a 25-6 victory over the New York Jets. Jones, the number 15 overall pick in the draft, went 22 of 30 for 186 yards for the Patriots. A week after going 24 for 29 to 439, a lot of numbers for 281 yards, and a lot of touchdown losses to Miami. New England beat New York for the 11th straight game. Wilson finished 19 of 33 for 210 yards and 4 interceptions in the home opener for the Jets. With Sports at 15 and 45, I'm Matt Sapienza. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great day.
Have yourself a great day.
Have yourself a great day.
5:47, a lot easier to have a great day if you're not stuck in traffic. A man who can help you avoid that is Joe Nolan. How's it looking this morning, Joe?
Not so bad, really, at least not yet. Inbound on the Gowanus BQE, we still have that traffic from the Prospect up to Hamilton Avenue. Again, the right lane going to be out. There was a crash there. We also have some delays as you begin to travel now on the Long Island Expressway. Nothing terrible yet, but still a little bit of slow traffic as you start to get through Queens Boulevard. Now, again, the UN General Assembly this week, there'll be full closures, frozen zones, anytime, anywhere. And the Transit Authority delays on the E, the F. In fact, the E's are on the F for most Avenue to West 4th Street and alternate side once again today is in effect to support a service to Discover. Discover matches all the cash back earning your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more, discover.com/yes. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you. Well, as Matt said, we're going to have, actually, Matt told me this in my ear. You didn't hear this, but we are going to wrap some of the top stories when we come back. Also, I'll give you the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center forecast and a little update on Notre Dame in Paris coming up.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you so much, Joseph. On the weather front from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a nice day today. Sunshine, few clouds, 76 degrees for a high. Nice clear night tonight. We're going to get down to a low of 64 degrees. I slept with my windows open last night. It was just lovely. Oh, so toasty and wonderful. Love it. Although I did hear my cat screeching. Tuesday, tomorrow, we're looking at partly cloudy skies in the morning, and the clouds will start to thicken up sometime during the afternoon. Although we may see a little bit of sun peeking out here and there, a high of 77 degrees tomorrow night. Rain starts to kick in, and it'll continue probably through, well, I'm looking at tomorrow, the rain kicks in at night, and we look at rain showers through Friday, unfortunately. But this is early in the week. Saturday's looking really nice. We're going to get to, it says, about 73 for a high and lots of sun. But again, things could change. Things always change. Right now, currently in New York City, it's 65 degrees.
Well, the Taliban is apparently up to its old tricks. A Christian missionary helping Afghans says that the Taliban is carrying out mass executions. The Islamist group took over Afghanistan last month as U.S. troops began leaving. Now, a former special forces officer who works as a humanitarian aid worker says they're killing up to 40 people at a time. He also says the Taliban is arresting anyone they perceive as their enemies. He believes this is happening across the country.
Well, we have another thug alert. Another thug violently robbed a 68-year-old man, took his wallet. It happened on a Bronx sidewalk last week, actually on Westchester Avenue near Evergreen Avenue in Soundview, about 1:20 a.m. last Thursday. This is according to police. The male suspect tripped this guy, this victim, to the ground and started punching him in the face. He also dragged the man before snatching his wallet and fleeing on foot. The wallet contained an ID card and about $70. The victim had bruising on his face, and he was treated at the scene by the EMS. Crook still on the loose.
Muslim American civil rights groups are boycotting Hilton Worldwide while protesting in front of the company's Virginia headquarters last week. Muslim rights advocates said they're boycotting the company over what they say is the corporation's plan to build a hotel on the site of a Uyghur mosque in China. The mosque in China's Xinjiang province was bulldozed by communist government authorities. About 16,000 mosques in Xinjiang are believed to have been destroyed by the Chinese government between 2017 and 2020.
Well, the question is our relationship destroyed with France? President Joe Biden is going to be speaking with French President Emmanuel Macron sometime this week after a trilateral diplomatic crisis involving the UK and Australia. Australia canceled a big sub purchase from France, and Macron's spokesperson says that Biden asked to speak to the president of France, and they will be discussing this and perhaps other things on the telephone in the next few days. Meantime, speaking of France, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, which was Paris's one of its most popular tourist attractions, it caught on fire, as you know, 2 years ago. It was very doubtful as to whether the structure would actually survive long enough to be rebuilt and renovated. But according to locals, yes, it is going to be renovated. God, I need my coffee. Because they have stabilized it. Apparently, carpenters and scaffolding experts, professional climbers, organ mechanics, and many others took part in this valiant effort over the last 2 years, and they have been able to secure the iconic towers and the vaults and all of the other important parts of the structure. So now the negotiations will begin with companies who will bid to take part in the reconstruction effort. We're talking about some 100 different areas that they have to hire people for. Restoring the organ will be number one. That happens in the fall, and other works are expected to begin in the winter. Emmanuel Macron, of course, president of France, says that he would like to be able to allow visitors back into the cathedral by 2024, which is when Paris hosts the Olympics.
Well, coming up in just 7 minutes, you'll get to hear the highly rated Bernie and Sid show.
It's true.
With Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg. It gives a preview of what you can expect for the next 4 hours. Here is Sid Rosenberg.
Well, we got a big show
today. Humble Sid.
Yes, I'm very, very humble. How can you expect me to be humble? This weekend alone, I got a shot on a magazine cover, and my role in Danny A's movie Gemini Lounge was confirmed yesterday. That does not speak to humility. It just doesn't.
It does not, but we don't want you to become one of these arrogant, horrible celebrity, you know, type A whack jobs.
Never going
to
happen.
We need you to stay sweet and wonderful.
I'll never be successful enough for any of that to happen, just so you know.
Why do you say that? That's crazy.
Well, today we're going to bring on Chris Bramando. He's on the show Gravesend with me. He's a very, very nice guy, smart guy, funny guy, easy listen to. He'll be on at 8:40 this morning, I should say, I guess. Nobody recaps a political weekend better than Rich Lowry, National Review. He's on every Monday at 7:25. He'll be here today. So you get Rich Lowry with all the politics and news at 7:25. The very entertaining Chris Bramando from Gravesend coming up at 8:40. And then at 9:05 to recap last night's Emmy Awards and all the nonsense going on in the world today, the very talented Constantine Maroulis.
Oh.
Constantine.
That is your guy, yeah.
Constantine. He's a constant presence on the Bernie and Sid show.
Yeah, he's on a lot. He's
Constantine.
Too much. Just when you think you've got some control of your show, they tell you who's coming on and when, and you find out that you don't.
Ain't that the truth? All right.
It's what it is.
Stay tuned to the Bernie
and
Sid show.
Sorry, Zach Wilson just threw another pick. I'm sorry, Joe Nolan. 4 interceptions for the Jet quarterback yesterday. Things are good for gangrene, right, Joe? I don't think so.
Stop.
Sorry.
At least the Giants covered on Thursday.
All right.
Yeah. Five. We'll have traffic and transit on the sevens with Joe Nolan in just a minute. But here's some good news for all of you that are not yet rich and famous. The Powerball jackpot is soaring after no one won Saturday's $457 million grand prize. That means $472 million is up for grabs tonight, with a cash payout of $342 million, but that's not all. Lottery players can try their luck again tomorrow on the Mega Millions jackpot, which is now worth $432 million. The cash option on that is just shy of $313 million.
Yeah.
You buy
come
a ticket,
to mama.
Juliet?
What?
You going to buy a ticket?
Yeah.
Yeah, to both?
Heck yeah. I may buy a couple tickets.
Yeah. I think I may do likewise.
Before we get to Joe, I just want to update you again. The FBI confirmed Sunday that the body found in a Wyoming national park is likely that of missing Long Island native Gabby Petito. She disappeared, of course, while she was on a cross-country trip with her boyfriend. The cause of death has not been determined. According to the FBI, the coroner's office is going to conduct an autopsy tomorrow. The attorney representing her boyfriend, who got home, refused to talk to Gabby's parents, refused to talk to anybody, refused to cooperate, and became a person of interest. The attorney representing Brian Laundrie's family and his parents, they have all refused to speak to police. This attorney called the discovery heartbreaking, and he said on behalf of the Laundrie family, they are praying for Gabby and her family. Laundrie lawyered up, and he again has refused to talk. He has been missing now. He apparently went MIA. Gabby's family says he's hiding. His family says he's missing. But again, no sign of him at this point. But they do believe that the body that was found was Gabby Petito's, sadly.